Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Let's listen in.
Weeks of negotiations, we have come to an agreement in principle. We still have a lot of work to do, but I believe this is an agreement in principle that's worthy of the American people. It has historic reductions in spending, consequential reforms that will lift people out of poverty into the workforce, rein in government overreach. There are no new taxes, no new government programs. There's a lot more within the bill. We still have more work to do tonight to finish all the writing of it. I do want to take a moment, though. I do want to thank Garrett Graves and Patrick McHenry for all their work on this and for all the work that we're going to continue to do tonight. I know you'll have a lot of questions. I'm not going to take them tonight. Out of respect, I want to brief our members about where we currently are. I expect to finish the writing of the bill, checking with the White House and speaking to the President again tomorrow afternoon, and then posting the text of it tomorrow, and then be voting on it on Wednesday. But thank you for your time, and I think this is very worthy of the American public. Take care.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis.
You, the good American old summertime. Affair.
Hey guys, this is Tommy. Tommy Asian
Politics. Instead, Republicans passed a bill that would make huge cuts in important programs that millions of working and middle-class Americans count on. Huge cuts in the number of teachers, police officers, border patrol agents, and increased wait times for Social Security claims. And I won't agree to that. I put forward a proposal that will cut spending by more than $1 trillion that freezes spending for the next 2 years. That's on top of the nearly $3 trillion in deficit reduction I previously proposed through a combination of spending cuts and new revenue raises. I propose making the wealthy begin to pay their fair share, which will reduce the deficit. But it won't cut programs for hardworking Americans depending on it, those funds, in order to continue big tax returns for the wealthiest Americans, America and America's largest corporations. But we can reduce the deficit both in short term and long term with a combination of spending cuts and programs that help big oil and big pharma by closing tax loopholes and making the wealthy pay their fair share. I've reduced the deficit, I said, $1.7 trillion in my first 2 years without raising a cent and raising taxes above anyone making less than $400,000. The economy is growing. The only way to move forward is with a bipartisan agreement, and I believe we'll come to an agreement that allows us to move forward and that protects the hardworking Americans of this country.
Now, story time.
Featuring special guest podcaster Kaiten Weiss from the Due Dissidents podcast. Guys, this is a good old
summertime
American affair. Tommy Nation Politics Tuesday live stream.
Julie Sirkin. Julie, what can you tell us about this tentative agreement between Republican leadership and the White House, this breaking moment on this debt limit conversation?
Yeah, it's one we've been waiting for all day, all week, if not for the last several weeks. But we are told just in the last few minutes.
In the last few minutes, they told you that there was nothing to report.
A Capitol Hill correspondent, Julie Sirkin.
We have
Julie,
no idea what's
what
in
you tell us
the
about
goddamn
this,
deal.
Agreement between Republican leadership.
Nobody knows
and the
what's
White
in the
House
deal.
Breaking moment on this.
They waited to the last minute to make the deal.
Yeah, it's one we've been waiting for all
what's the
day,
deal?
All week, if not for the last several weeks. But we are told just in the last few minutes that the White House and Republican negotiators did reach a deal in principle, an agreement in principle, and I say that carefully because remember, Republicans want a chance to sell their members, which we are told they're going to do in under an hour at 9:30 tonight. An all-member call will be held where Republican leadership will start to begin to see how many members they can get on board for this agreement.
Struggling from birth that I must not quit this station, this time, yet I dread the melting heats of Philadelphia summer.
Welcome back to the Big Saturday Show. The hometown crowd is not taking it easy on AOC. Here's the reception she got during a town hall in her district last night.
Where are you on the migrant issue? You're absent. Where are you? You're a piece of
okay. We should eliminate the debt limit in the United States.
So how does the squad member respond? Well, she laughed it off, like she always does when she is confronted on the lackluster job she's doing up on Capitol Hill. I mean, Tammy, they might as well have come out with like the pitchforks and protest. Yeah. I mean, I just pictured this old scene, you know, from medieval times. She really is getting a backlash.
Well, this obviously is a Democrat district. These are people who clearly have been waiting, almost like waiting to go see Taylor Swift, but the opposite. and just obviously frustrated people. This is what Democrats are missing, but politicians
in general.
Don't
you compare them to Swifties?
Look, no, I'm not.
Don't compare. Well, he is going to defend the Swifties.
But look, no matter what. But look, this is what all Americans are going through. This is what very rarely do you get it pictured like this. This is why so many of them don't do town halls, because they know it's like they got their little bubble, and this is real life, and they don't like it, and they're going to have to, and if they don't hear it at a town hall, they're going to hear it in the ballot box.
Yeah, but there's something else that should be noted here that you're seeing for the first time. This could be a new coalition emerging of people
who are
upset by the rampant immigration that are suddenly in AOC's district, courtesy of the Border Patrol who sent them on their way.
No, I absolutely agree
with
you.
And the spending in Ukraine and ignoring the well-being of citizens. That's what you hear time and time again.
Absolutely. Listen to this. This is a flashback of AOC. She's dancing and mocking protesters. Take a look.
All right, listen. All right, listen, okay, listen.
I mean, Raymond, she obviously has no respect for her constituents whatsoever.
She sees herself as a pop star. She's the new Taylor Swift without the
free thinking, innovative, and totally open-minded. Tommy Nation Politics.
Record for the benefit of those delegates who were unable to remain to close the session, the declarations and resolves of this first Congress. Resolve that to the recent grievous acts imposed by Parliament on Massachusetts, we cannot submit, but in hopes that our fellow subjects in Great Britain will restore to us happiness and prosperity, rather than support the Massachusetts militia, we have agreed to pursue the following peaceable measures. To publish a statement of the aforesaid to the inhabitants of British America.
Who need no reminders.
Two, to enter into a non-importation, non-consumption, and non-exportation agreement of British goods.
Which no one will honor.
And three, to prepare a loyal address to His Majesty.
Which His Majesty will not read.
This Congress stands adjourned. The business of this Congress being concluded, all delegates are respectfully reminded.
Congress, the business of this Congress has been to achieve nothing.
The year of our Lord, 1775.
I just want to say something quickly. Joe Biden has taken to himself to try to single out Florida over COVID. This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide open southern border. You have hundreds of thousands of people pouring across every month. And it's not just from Mexico. In fact, it's rarely from Mexico. You have over 100 different countries where people are pouring through. Not only are they letting them through, they're then farming them out all across our communities across this country, putting them on planes, putting them on buses. You think they're being worried about COVID for that? Of course not. So he's facilitating. Who knows what new variants are out there? But I can tell you, whatever variants are around the world, they're coming across that southern border. And so he's not shutting down the virus. He's helping to facilitate it in our country. And what is his big solution? What is he so upset about Florida? His solution is he wants to have the government force kindergartners to wear masks in school. He doesn't believe the parents should have a say in that. He thinks that should be a decision for the government. Well, I can tell you in Florida, the parents are going to be the ones in charge of that decision. And one of the major medical people in his administration just recently told parents that they should be wearing masks at home when they're around their own children. This is insane. Joe Biden also believes that vaccination should be mandated by force of government and that you should have to show vaccination status to be able to participate in society. Now, Florida, we're very proud of our seniors first strategy. You look at the mortality in nursing homes among seniors, it's declined dramatically. But we said from the beginning, we're going to make it available for all, but we're not going to mandate it on anybody. That's ultimately an individual's choice to be able to do it. Biden, he rejects science because he denies the fact that people that recover from COVID have long-lasting immunity. And that's been proven time and time again, and the data is very clear. So his vision is, just like in New York City, restaurants should ban young kids from being able to go in because they're not eligible for vaccination, and law-abiding citizens have to produce proof of their medical records just to go to the gym or attend an event or just to participate in everyday society. He wants that, but yet if you want to vote, he thinks it's too much of a burden to show a picture ID when you're voting. So no voter ID, but have to show your medical papers just to be able to live an everyday life. Give me a break. And so I think the question is we can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions about themselves, about their families, about their kids' education, and about putting food on the table. And Joe Biden suggests that if you don't do lockdown policies, then you should, quote, get out of the way. But let me tell you this. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it. If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way, and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Tommy with Tommy Nation Politics. How's everyone doing today?
Both sides appear to move closer to a deal. That would raise the nation's debt ceiling. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy striking an optimistic tone Saturday.
I feel closer to an agreement now than I did a long time before. I progress.
As he left Washington for the holiday weekend on Friday, President Biden also seemed to hint that a deal could soon be on the horizon.
With regard to the debt limit, things are looking good, very optimistic.
Sources tell CBS News a possible deal includes raising the nation's borrowing limit and cap some spending for 2 years, while keeping Social Security, Medicare, Veterans Services, and military off the table for reductions. There's also talk of shifting $10 billion of new funding meant to ease backlogs at the IRS and using it to pay for other programs, possibly including health care and transportation.
This is not easy in any shape or form.
Summertime and the living is easy.
Republicans have pushed White House negotiators on expanding federal work requirements on some of the people who receive federal assistance, including benefits to help buy food. With most lawmakers gone for the holiday weekend, they will have to be called back to vote for a deal. Cristian Benavides, CBS News.
CBS News, eh? CBS News. Well, I don't know much about CBS News, but I do know that there's only six corporations that own all of the news outlets. And, these corporate talking points don't really tell us anything, guys. I don't think so. Hi, guys. I think this is one of the old, good old summertime affairs. Summertime and the living ain't easy. Got rising food costs, rising cost of living. We've got a student loan debt cancellation in purgatory. But they've gotten something done. It's a tentative deal. It's a tentative deal, guys. Which means it's not a deal signed with any kind of signature, meaning any kind of substantial outcome. It's just politics. Politics, guys, it's dreary right now with the GOP and the Democratic Party fighting for power. Power, guys. Not you. Not your families. Fighting for power. It's the Hungry for Power games, guys, and the affairs of America are in so critical a state. Such great events are struggling for birth. The resolution of our healthcare access issue. Struggling for birth. The dissipation of our war state brought on by the military-industrial complex. Struggling for birth. The income inequality not seen since the Gilded Age. Struggling for birth. Yet I dread the melting heats of a Philadelphia summer, John Adams wrote. May 27th. Yeah. That's today, but it was 1776, guys. When our founding fathers were also dreading the melting heats of summer and what that means for our economic constitution. How my frail constitution would endure it, he said. Such constant care. Such incessant application of mind. Drinking up and exhausting the finer spirits upon which life and health so essentially depend. They essentially depend, guys, on the will to wear away a stronger will than your own. What will is that? A united will. One of out of many, one. From this, I shall not toil. From this outcome that promotes the general welfare and secures the blessings of liberty to myself and posterity, while my health shall be such that I can discharge in any tolerable manner the duties of this important post, I will not desert it. And that was the voice, guys, of John Adams while he was in Congress legislating. Can you hear the difference in tone, really, from the Congress, the first United States Congress, to the 130th? We're missing some details. We're missing some principles and values, I think. We're missing free thinking, innovative, open-minded dialogue and discourse. You can get that at Tommy Nation Politics, guys. All you have to do is join the Facebook page at facebook.com/Tommy Nation Politics or subscribe to the YouTube, Rumble, Twitch, Trovo or Twitter stream channels. You can go to any of those, but you can also go to my website www.tommynationpolitics.com to find the whole link tree. So, hey guys, fellow patriots, brothers, sisters, countrymen. This is Tommy Nation Politics, your new independent progressive media, and today we're thinking about Philadelphia in the summertime. As I opened with this monologue, I said many things change. Everything just stays the same. And so it is with summertime. Summertime, and the living was supposed to be easy. That's how the song goes. Unfortunately, the Democrats and Republicans, puppets of the rich, who are propagandized by corporate media, as CBS and other news outlets that are owned by only six corporations. Yes, they're propagandized by corrupt media as to be our leaders. Our leaders. It's hilarious at this point, guys. What exactly are they leading? I think they're the biggest epitome of the personification of followers, actually. If you just heard about this debt ceiling debacle, we have to sell you on the idea, because our leadership has no leadership. We have no leadership principles or behaviors. And so it is that they're not our leaders, guys. They're actually tyrants. They're traitors. They're the scum that replaced King George III when he, the tyrant, fell. And like George Washington said in his farewell address, they have taken power away from the proletariat. They've been in collective power, guys, for at this moment in time, almost 170 years. And this is profound, accurate, prophetic insight from George Washington in his farewell address. He said, these parties will usurp the reins of government and carve for themselves from the very engines that which brought them to unjust dominion, their own tyranny. And so how that address proves accurate and quite a prophecy. Such words boldly ring a stark truth of reality, building truly legitimate relevance at every modern present moment. Have they usurped the reins of government? Of course they have. They've curtailed our civil liberties, and they've neglected their oaths to protect us from threats foreign and domestic. They're scum and traitors. It's just the obvious truth. And it's so sad, guys, how the reins of government were stolen from the former Minutemen, those men who bravely earned premier citizenship of this country and individual destiny by right. They earned it by revolting from a tyrant monarch ruler. They insurrected from him, these patriots, endeavoring all men be created equal, and declared a union under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. E pluribus unum, out of many one. So inherently possessing these inalienable rights divinely bestowed by their creator, they attempted to germinate government principles with a valued intent to promote the general welfare, to legislate on principles that desire a permanent codification of newfound freedoms and liberties that they had just won through war and bloody sacrifice, through revolution. When you look at the first Congress of the United States of America, guys, and you look at the current Congress that declined to forgive the student debt, directly not securing the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. They are balking at their own responsibilities. They are kicking the can down the road until there's no more road, extending eviction moratoriums unilaterally through executive orders. And now we observe even more constitutional regression with the case of the unconstitutional, guys, raising of a debt ceiling affair. The New York Times prints big bold font, negotiators raise to center final deal, a tentative deal right at the deadline. Is it just me, or does it almost banner the highlight of the farewell address prophecy? It's a truly depressing decline that occurs in our civilization, in our society, in an empire that subverts and repeals the most traditional principles and values that they were founded on as a nation, that was birthed on July 4th. They are trying to irreplaceably replace an integral founding that even in the earliest days of summer, founding father John Adams knew what the truth was, and he knew what his values were. He was what truth once referred to with most honest authenticity as a statesman. He was the second president, of course, you know, guys, of the United States. He was an opponent of slavery in an unpopular time where slavery was the law of the land. And he was also a father, John Quincy Adams, the fourth president of the United States. Father, deacon of his church, principled statesman, founder, a true illustration of an actual legitimate leader, guys. If you don't remember what those were, we did have them at one time. He was the primarily defining example of a comprehensive personification that accurately establishes the definitive precedence of leadership. He was a definitive exhibit, appropriately defining such a title. Such a title that could bestow on a human being. Such responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. Adams was dreading the heat to come. On May 27, 1776, he wrote to his wife and primary recipient of these letters, Abigail Adams. As you know, she had quite a political career herself, making change and standing up for the rights of women. John Adams, the subject of many controversial legislation, including his opposition to slavery. He was also a thrifty farmer, not as rich as the other founders. With inheritance, he fled the persecution of English rule and their church to find a new life where he could manifest his own destiny. And station was not an important part of success. That's why he graduated from Harvard, one of the first universities there. Not in alphabetical order, though, guys, because according to British rule at the time, in order to graduate, you must be according to the social standing of the parents. It must be according to class. Class warfare was it was a staunch symbol of British Empire. And it's funny how this income inequality has transpired a class warfare of its own. Not taking into degree profession, character, principles, or values, but taking into profits. Capitalist greed. When the smoldering fires of a century of rivalry between France and England broke out in blaze of war, it forever was a symbol to them that their monarchies also would end. And the intense interest in station and class, that would be part of another way of thinking, and not a way that all men were created equal be thinking. He found himself too much of a free thinker to feel at home in the pulpit after a while. As he was a Unitarian, he kind of recycled his religious principles into stonemasonry. And the dogmatic Christianity, guys, we all know what the Founding Father said about that. Separation of power, separation of church and state. It was a direct warning and a legal strategy that would keep away the corrupt or too powerful people that would usurp the reins of government. These decrees, confessions, oaths of religious, spiritual, bodily autonomy. They were part of the big deal, guys. They were the big deal. There was a big deal. There was a new deal. Not a Green New Deal yet. But it's funny, guys. They got things done back in those days. It's funny because the reason they did was there was a strong prejudice against lawyers in New England. And so in 1758, Adams began the practice of his own profession in Suffolk. And he started to really understand the admirable qualities of people working underneath you and being in the middle class, being in that position, and then being in the position of supervisor and then legislator. He was very present in the courtroom to bring together the first Supreme Court, and he was very intricate in the checks and balances that keep our republic, democratic republic, the power does not have too much of it, guys. Back in the day, there was checks and balances. One can override the other. We'll talk about that sometimes, but I just wanted to say, my main point is that was the child independence bore. The rights, life, liberty, and happiness, and inalienable rights that God ordained and divinely assembled us with. And these principles and values, guys, they should not be overlooked. Let's just put it that way. They should not be ignored, and they should not be replaced with capitalist greed or campaign finance contributions. They should be replaced with love of party. We should always have those common bonds that were supposed to unite us. The lust and the thriving of life, liberty, and happiness, guys. Those were the things. You know the thing. But never in my life, guys, have I seen the regression of principles and values so incredibly, accelerating. As we take all of these things into account, curtailing of our civil liberties, the laying down of our own morality to become part of a socially constructed bandwagon mentality, conventional wisdom blob, guys, where this duopoly has set us. They're setting us to be divided. They set us to be polarized. They set us to be toys that they could gain power with. And use, manipulate. And that wasn't the way we were supposed to be legislating, guys. It was intended to operate as a way to highlight the values that they upheld and exalted all high. Freedom, life, liberty, and happiness. Were we supposed to worry about Dylan Mulvaney and the Bud Light commercial? Were we supposed to worry about our neighbors and no, we weren't supposed to. We were supposed to encourage each other, all of us, to go after life, liberty, and happiness, to manifest our own destiny, and to always pursue freedom and liberty at all costs. At all costs. That was Thomas Paine. Freedom and liberty at all costs. So during the COVID pandemic, when people were talking about lockdowns, talking about curtailing people's rights and taking the Constitution out of the equation, giving us the building blocks of fascist government. Literally, guys, I don't think you understand. Every time the government takes power, they don't ever bring it back. Case in point, the Patriot Act. How many years has the Patriot Act been renewed? How is it possible? Do you think they're ever not going to renew the Patriot Act? No, they're doing it now purely because it's the thing to do. It's like tying their shoe now. They have it. They're not giving it back. And we weren't supposed to give it to them, guys. So it just really sucks how stubbornly we refuse to see the pressing dilemmas. We have all kinds of problems. Our biggest problems are these two traitor parties that have usurped the reins of government and carved for themselves with their engines that gave them power, their own tyranny. George Washington said it. He literally said it. And it's all coming into fruition now. Now they, like I said, this tentative agreement on the debt ceiling. First of all, the debt ceiling is not in the Constitution because we weren't supposed to be borrowing money from other countries. They were isolationists, our founding fathers. Do you see how our country literally doesn't even remotely resemble the country that we actually started with? So guys, this is what I'm trying to convey. It's an insidious task to work inside this duopoly system that keeps us polarized, not united, fighting, and constantly at each other's throats, because they have to divide us in order for us to vote for them and achieve power. So, literally, their whole entire MO, these two parties, is literally the opposite of the MO of our country. So, like, I'm just saying, guys, this is the reason why our entire country is deteriorating. It's not the immigrants. Our founding fathers were immigrants from England. They fled persecution of British Empire and religious persecution. They decided that they were done with monarchy, and they decided that they weren't going to crown or coronate anybody like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. They decided they were going to go after their own manifest destiny. They wrote into the Constitution a preamble that gave us instructions to promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. So, in May 27th, the reason why I'm really referencing this is because May 27th, 1776, guys, if you'll remember, in July, we won our independence. But all of these decisions that that the founding fathers were making, I mean, for the greater good, the collective good, these decisions to protect and secure the blessings of liberty and freedom, and make sure that they fortify those freedoms and liberties that they just won through bloody revolutionary war. These are all slowly being taken away by the Democrats and Republicans, and the statesman and the civil servant no longer exists. We're calling each other Marxists. We have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. We're calling people rednecks. We're all divided, and a nation divided against itself cannot stand. The affairs of America are in so critical a state, though. At the time, John Adams was saying this, right before the Revolutionary War was won. He said, I must not quit the station at this time. How frail my Constitution should endure it, we shall make such constant care, such incessant application of mind, and we shall drink up and exhaust the finer spirits upon which life and health so essentially depend. And so I pose, guys, that the stability to our government, the separation of powers, and the overall, you know, non-decline of the foundation of our country, it really rests upon you making the decision of rugged individualism to not enable these guys to not permit them to do what they're doing anymore. It's just really, really apparent that they're war criminals, they're murderers, they're scum. They don't give a shit about us at all. And they don't even pretend to anymore, because they know that you'll vote for them anyway, because the other guy is a threat to democracy. The other guy is a racist, sexist, homophobe, transphobe. The other guy is a stupid idiot, even though they're both stupid idiots. The other guy is a rapist, even though they're both rapists. Sooner or later, principles and values disappear, and all you have is personality, no virtue, no ability to govern, because we have no leadership. We just have a personality. And that's really what has happened, guys. It's what's transpired. And if you just think about it without your love of... I mean, I don't understand how this even happened. Like, this isn't sports. They don't do anything good. They don't shoot a ball through a hoop. They don't even fucking, like, do anything for us. They literally rob us every time. And that's... I know I'm going off on tangents, guys, but the thing that really made me think about this whole John Adams thing and how seriously he took the country is because we literally let these guys run up a deficit, which we shouldn't even have. And then they keep on expanding the deficit, and they pretend like they're actually serious about it. And they go, and while our country's experiencing economic turbulence and like all of these supply chain disruptions, they're literally fighting over whether or not we should cut Medicare, Social Security. What do they want to do? They want to literally take from us. How about they cut their fucking war Pentagon budget? How about they stop their stupid little National Endowment for the Arts? How about they like stop giving $500 million to Zelensky after everybody knows he embezzled $400 million? His own press said that, bro. His own press said that. So, like, literally, guys, I'm not trying to be disagreeable. I'm not trying to be unpopular. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, guys, because y'all have life, liberty, and happiness. But I'm really just trying to get through to as many people as I can that literally voting for these Democrats, Republicans is literally the thing hurting our country. It's not MS-13. It's not rapists, drug dealers, and murderers.
stupid. These guys have literally killed people. They put crack in the neighborhoods of blacks. They redlined. They're literally the worst criminals on earth. And we just have to, we have to realize that. And we have to let go of whatever, like, connection they have. I don't know how. With the flag or the Pledge of Allegiance. They're not our leaders. They really don't even want to be our leaders. And they're not talking to us at all. They're talking to JB Diamond, talking to Jeff Bezos. They're talking to the Shah. They're talking to corporate CEOs. They're not talking to you. They don't work for you, buddy. And everybody's admitted it. Trump said, I use the system. I know the system's corrupt because I use it. So now that we all know, there's a decision we have to make. The decision, guys, we have to make in the good old summertime. Because come wintertime, will the prosperity be there? Will the life, liberty, and happiness remain? We only have a short amount of time, guys, to fix these problems. The Democrats and Republicans, they're not even thinking about fixing problems because they have to run on those problems. They have to take those problems, they have to push them in your face and be like, Roe v. Wade's on the ballot. And then all of a sudden, they don't do anything about Roe v. Wade because they don't give a shit about you. So, like, how many times do they have to fucking prove it to you? Anyway, tangent, guys. My point is, Tommy Nation Politics live stream Tuesday. We talk about these things. We're going to talk about what we can do. The best thing we can all do is stop voting for Democrats or Republicans. We can do more than that, though. Our founding fathers did. And I wish you guys life, liberty, and happiness. Be free-thinking, innovative, and open-minded. Catch the live stream. I've got a very good guest, Due Dissidence, Keaton Weiss. He's from Due Dissidence. And we're going to talk it out the progressive way. I encourage right-wingers there, too. Even though you guys are kind of psycho bootlickers. Your institution's troubled, guys. Get over it. And Trump's dumb. Bye.
First honored with a call into the service of my country, then on the eve of an arduous struggle for its liberties, the light in which I contemplated my duty required that I should renounce every pecuniary compensation. From this resolution I have in no instance departed, and being still under the impressions which produced it, I must decline as inapplicable to myself any share in the personal emoluments which may be indispensably included in a permanent provision for the executive department.
To a benevolent human mind, there can be no spectacle presented by any nation more pleasing, more noble, majestic, or august than an assembly like that which has so often been seen in this and the other chamber of Congress, of a government in which the executive authority, as well as that of all the branches of the legislature, are exercised by citizens selected at regular periods by their neighbors to make and execute laws for the general good.
All too will bear in mind this sacred principle that though the will of the majority is in all cases to prevail, that will to be rightful must be reasonable, that the minority possesses their equal rights, which equal law must protect, and to violate would be oppression. Let us, then, fellow citizens, unite with one heart and one mind.
Indulging no passions which trespass on the rights or the repose of other nations, it has been the true glory of the United States to cultivate peace by observing justice and to entitle themselves to the respect of the nations at war by fulfilling their neutral obligations with the most scrupulous impartiality.